Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company. We are pets' health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. That is why you're my friend, Dr. Andy.
I know. All my friends don't feed kibble. They're not my friends. You have to surround yourself with people that you're alike, right?
I know. And I do. Because I have a lot of customers. So I surround myself with a lot of those peeps.
Yeah.
So how's life treating you there in paradise? Because that's paradise, where you live.
I know, in Paradise Hills. It's good. It's really good. Just humming along, getting new clients coming all the time.
You know what? If people really understood how important structure is in ourselves and dogs, I think that you wouldn't have an opening for years.
Oh, I had this great story. Oh, my goodness. So new client, golden retriever. She's 10. She's delightful. Her parents are delightful. I saw mom the first visit. Dad had to bring her in the second visit a week later. And he goes, he goes, we switched her meds up with the veterinarian and we're just doing gabapentin at night, but we switched it to tramadol during the day and she's feeling much better. Great. Had great last 2 days. She was limping up front. She does have hip dysplasia that they never did surgery on or did anything with. Okay. I don't know how bad it is. You need x-rays for that. But he's like, I was very concerned. The vet was like, oh, I don't think she's going to live much longer.
Okay, that's not a good diagnosis to say out loud.
She might do that. And he's looked at me, he's like, that down dog syndrome. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, and he's like, yeah, she's just like, the arthritis is just going to get so bad. She's just going to, you know, die on us very soon. I'm like, I don't know why she told you. If she feels the need to make a note in the chart, that is one thing. Why you would burden your pet parent with that is beyond me. This dog had great muscle mass. It was actually equal on both sides. We have some arthritis. There was limping up front. But dad's like, well, we went on this trip and with the dog sitter, she started limping really bad. I'm like, okay, so something happened. She hurt herself on top of her arthritis. Arthritis does not instantly get really bad unless they trip on something, jump out of the car wrong, you know, do something, even a little trip up the stairs that may not even look like much, but they can aggravate it. But it's not just all of a sudden her global arthritis just got really bad and she's going to die. I was mortified for them. I'm like, how awful to hear that from your veterinarian about your dog. She's sitting here on my table with her leash in her mouth and her tail going, and she's just having a good old time. Yeah, she's a little sore. I was flabbergasted on that. I'm like, well, I'm not agreeing with that. Now, granted, this is only our second visit. We'll see how much we can get her feeling good. Sounds like we got some meds dialed in, yada, yada, yada. But I was just shocked that had to say that to them.
I'm not, because that's their casting spells. That's what Neely calls it, casting spells. And
I have to remember that.
Because you know, I look at it from the human side, and I've been doing a lot of research, obviously, with the Bigglesons and some other people. And they say, when a doctor gives you a diagnosis with a time frame, most people will just die according to the time frame. Because it's been implanted in your brain. So, you know,
that also tells you how powerful your thoughts in your brain are, people.
Right.
Like, you're given, your aunt's given 3 months to live and she dies 3 months and 3 days later. But if nobody had told her that, would she have been thinking about it? Would she have manifested that?
And then they're like, oh, see, the doctor was right.
Yes.
You're like, and, hang on here, Paunchy.
And the doctor is so proud about being right about that, which is odd too.
So, well, yeah, that is, I don't even get that, why that vet would say that. That makes,
yeah, that I think one that's did cruel. Not, I thought that was especially cruel. There are other times when you have to deliver bad news, absolutely. But I thought that was just unreasonably cruel.
Well, I really did you figure out what their, why they gave that diagnosis? Was it that they wanted the pet parent to do something else?
Not that I was aware of. I didn't ask that question. So that's a really good question to ask. I think personally, she's looking at a 10 and a half year old golden retriever and they die, right?
They don't.
Golden retrievers have a very poor health prognosis in general.
Why? Why?
Because they get heart cancer in this realm.
Why?
That's a good question, Dee Dee. But boxers, German shepherds, and golden retrievers. So, and I think a lot of vets, that's all they see is the breed. They're not looking at that individual dog. And so this breed at this age is going to die soon.
All right. But here, do not listen to us. Do not put that in your head, pet parents. No. If you have one of these three breeds,
don't.
Okay. Do not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know,
not Dr. German shepherds, Bernie's mom. No. Sorry.
You didn't say German shepherds and I wouldn't have listened to you anyway.
I think, but I did. Well, that, but one. Anyway, sorry. Berners, boxers, and goldens. Now, yes, exactly what Dee Dee said. Don't listen to me about that. If you have those breeds, because if you buy into that, that's what you're going to get. And it is, I did the Bernese Mountain Dog specialty, gosh, probably a decade ago. I sat there with my table and adjusted dogs and it was amazing the amount of energy spent on how early these dogs die. It was amazing.
When you say how much energy from who?
From the owners, from the people there. Like they were, you know, there was only three people in the veterans ring, not people, dogs, three dogs in the veterans ring. Cause they never, and people would say, oh, they just never lived to 12 or 13. Like, this is their global point of view about this breed. So how do you move past that energetic thought process? That's difficult if you have all these people thinking all these things about this breed.
Well, and Dr. Andy, I would love to see a true controlled study that says, all right, that breed, you're going to do the natural or not natural, the unnatural, natural way that people raise these dogs, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to do the kibble. We're going to do all the vaccines. We're going to put all the stuff in them. Let's throw in some gabapentin for, you know, good measure, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Then let's do another study. And again, where they are and the terrain is going to play a factor too. But if we're just doing that breed, raw diet, a lot of variety, no chemicals in the body, no pain, none of homeopathy. Okay. Mm-hmm. What would we see? Would we see the exact same time frame? Would we see of death? Would we see the exact same diseases? What would we see? Nobody's doing that study.
Oh, no. Well, where's the money in that study? Who makes any money? And you bring up that X factor in all studies is the thoughts of who's doing the study, right? So let's say there's five dogs over here and five dogs over here, and you're doing just like you lined out, but all 10 pet parents don't actually think their dog's going to live past six. What will happen? It's fascinating, but there's no money in these studies. Like, no one's going to do them. But if you are how many families? Let's take the breeds out of it. How many families? Oh, we never have a dog that lives past 10.
Hush your face.
They never have a dog that lives past 10. And then there's other points of view. Oh, our dogs always live to 17, and they do. So, yeah, it's just, I think, very fun to look at.
I do too.
And so catch yourself, people.
I brought this up with Dave and Dawn. David and Dawn. And about how our reality changes. And I said to them, you may have heard this on the podcast. I said, you know, we have pet parents that are like helicopter parents, right? And they're always expecting something to go wrong. So they're always watching. They're very much, what's the poop look like? Oh my gosh, it was a little bit gooey and there was a little bit mucousy and it was a little bit dark. And, you know, oh my gosh, they're going to choke on bones. And oh, and I'm just like, well, maybe your dog's pay. Because I said, I don't have piggy dogs. Neither doesn't have piggy dogs. Yeah. Though she had her lab, that you know, would pick out it didn't like the rabbit because it had the fur in it. Okay. I get that. But by and large, my energy, my thought is bacteria has never scared me, right? Germs don't scare me, right? Because we do a lot of study on this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's passing on to my dogs, right? There's an energy level that's passing on to my dogs. I don't worry about my dog chewing on a stick. I don't worry about him chewing on a duck head or a bone or anything else. I pretty much feel that my dog is smart as hell and going to figure that out because that's how they were born.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go.
So, you know, I mean, so I don't know. It's fascinating. And Dr. Jasek and I have been asking that question as well as you, is like, what the hell's going on here? Mm-hmm. Now you deal in the energy world more than we do, right? You got your hands on the dog. The dogs, you know, you can feel the energy of the pet parents. You can feel the energy of the dogs. So you're working in that realm all the time. That's not a hard leap for you, right? That's not a, because you see it, you deal with it. For some folks that have never stopped long enough to even consider that thoughts are things and that it creates an energy and that energy creates, you know, emotions and emotions create actions. I mean, it's all linked. So that's something that people really want to start thinking about. And, you know, I say it all the time. You can walk in a room and feel. If the energy is negative, you can feel if something's weird. You can feel if somebody's, you know, stranger danger.
Yep, absolutely. We've all walked into a room and you're like, you missed something. There must have been some argument or something went down, right? Like, you could tell. I'm not sure who you ask about it, but, you know, you could tell.
So what's going on in here? Who's having an argument? Right. What's up?
Who's
but kid? Can you feel the difference in energy with a pet parent and a dog? You're like, your dog's off. I think you said this on another podcast. The dog's fine and happy, and the pet parents are heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a big, long conversation with a regular client this week. She comes in, I think, about every couple months. And we have had this. I've even said this to her on Wednesday. We have had the same similar version of the same conversation now for years. The dog has pooping issues.
What does that mean? Neely and I always have that question.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
And so she was going into what protein he's raw fed protein that he's eating, and he can only eat lamb right now, or he doesn't poop. But when I switch him completely to something else and he doesn't poop, I'm like, what does that mean? Doesn't poop? Well, he might not poop for a day.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm like, and then it'll poop. And then he might not poop for a day. And then when we've been doing this for 9 years, and I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. How about we just stop all the supplements and take a breath? But that's 9 years of obsessing about something, right? 9 years of thinking your dog has constipation on this meat, not this meat, but if we do this meat. And I'm like, oh, the dog's like, I don't even know what to do here, right? Like, she's projecting that I have constipation. So, okay, I'll do constipation. That's literally how dogs work.
Or maybe, Dr. Andy, that's just the way his system works.
Well, there's that.
He only poops every other day.
Exactly. But we don't know, because she labeled it as this and she's labeled it as a problem. He also been lately vomiting bile up. But he's still happy to eat. I'm like, you should just be grateful that he's always happy to eat. He eats. Great. Yeah. Let's focus on that. And we talk about this all the time. I don't get really excited about the bile pukes at all. I'm like, ugh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, give him a snack, see if that helps. Yeah. You know, feed him later in the day. Feed him once a day. You know, I don't know. Neely has a lot of good solutions, as do you. But, you know, I did. I didn't have any issues with my Germans, mm-hmm. but I did switch after Asta passed away. Lassie to one once a day.
Yeah, I would once love a day. To. Oh, I'd love to. And I've actually kind of switched my thought process on that. When we were having like the bile pukes or some stuff or whatever. And I used to recommend, well, why don't you give them lunch or do some? I almost think you need to go to one meal. I think it's almost an overload on the digestive system is when you are giving three meals a day and it's not helping because the liver's taxed and the digestive organs are getting taxed. And every time you throw food in, it taxes the system. So I'm almost like looking at what dog is in front of me. I mean, we're not going to do that to a 17-year-old dog that you're barely getting any food in. Like you got an 8-year-old dog that's, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. Let's try this. Cause you know what, folks, you can try it and then you can go back to what you're doing.
Are you kidding
me? This seems to be a foreign concept. I am amazed by this. Yeah. And this conversation, stop all the supplements. But I'm like, they're all in your cabinet. You can start them again in a week or two. This is like this all or nothing mentality. I don't get it. Try it. Oh, that didn't work. Try something else.
It's really funny. So we just had a new customer come on and he has this bulldog, right? And actually he owns the gym that we go to. And the bulldog's always in the gym. And, you know, she's got that alopecia thing that goes on. She's constantly raiding the trash cans and just doing all this kind of stuff. And so we never say anything, right? We don't, mm-hmm. we do not try. We just wear our sweatshirts and people are like, hey, can we try that? And so I told him, I said, here's the thing. You can't be giving her those crappy treats on top of this, right? You can't be sneaking in other stuff. And he's like, but her eyes, but she looks at me, but she. And I said, well, it's up to you. I'm not the pet police, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying, if you want success, mm-hmm. this is probably the way you want to go.
And they don't have thumbs to get it themselves.
Right? They're not raccoons.
No. So yeah.
It's so funny. People are like, but my dog. Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, animals like to eat. They just like to eat, right? And it doesn't matter.
We do too.
Yeah.
Animals, right?
Right, yeah. right. So just because they're looking at you that way doesn't mean you have to give in.
I have a client who's got a chow mix. She's delightful. She's senior, has worked with Dr. Jasek, with this dog and his previous dog. And he's like, oh, she's like 4 pounds overweight and she's having some joint stuff. So we put her on a diet. That means instead of a handful of cookies, she got two. Like, that was it. That was the whole shift. And it was already good treats. He's already raw feeding and, you know, all of that. And it worked. And she's awesome. And he's like, yeah, she gives me dirty looks now. I'm like, yeah.
You could train him. I mean, you know, unfortunately, as good of a trainer as my husband is, he instituted, in my opinion, not a good thing because what he does is he lets Lassie lick the plates, right? Mm-hmm. So after you're done eating, puts the plate down. So now she's like, are you done yet? You mm-hmm. done yet? She can literally hear the sound when you put the fork on the plate. And she's like, my turn. And I'm like, babe, what, why did you institute that? And they pick up on that so fast, right? And she literally will come over and stare at me. And I'm like, go. You know?
That's you your know? Father's thing. Go.
Right? I'm just like, so it's so easy to train these guys, mm-hmm. To train them to do things. That, okay, what happened?
I'm not sure.
Torchy
that's
was
a dachshund for you. Sorry.
I miss that sound. My three dachshunds. You know I had three when I started.
You had three. I thought you had two.
I had three. When Rick and I met, I had three dachshunds and he had two cats. And it was like, all right.
And now they have one German Shepherd.
Yeah. We've gone through a lot over the last 17 years. But you know, we had to find out if we're going to come together. Mm-hmm. These five animals going to be able to live together, right? And so we had to go through that. And the first time that I because he lived in Parkville, Missouri at the time, I lived in Dallas. We met in Florida and and
countrywide.
Yeah, he had all these. Now my dogs are raw-fed dogs, right? We go up to his house and I'm taking my three. This is when we decided that we were going to, you know, be a couple. And he has these dog cookies out with their names on them.
Aww.
Like, it was very cute, but I was like, yeah, my dogs don't eat those.
Yeah,
but,
we're not eating that.
You know, his cats had been around dogs. My dogs had been around cats, but we let the dachshunds out and they became a pack and they went chasing those cats. And one of my dachshunds got her throat slit by one of the cats. And she comes walking out. And what was really weird, I was like, what is that hanging from her neck?
Oh, jeez.
It was literally her skin. And it did not hit a vein.
Wow.
But so what happened was, you know, we tried the good boy training. We called some trainers out. We did some things. That didn't work. Right? None of it worked. Finally, Rick said, I can fix this. He gets shock collars. Now, some of our pet parents were like, oh my God.
Everybody just paled and about passed out. Go ahead.
Right? But what he did was he just put them on the dachshunds. He put the cats in their carriers. And when they went towards the cats, he just gave them a little bump. And that fixed it. Except that crazy dachshund that I had that had her throat slit. Anytime that the cat and the dog were in the front yard, she thought it was fair game. House, it was fine. In the backyard, it was fine. Mm-hmm. It was really weird. Now, mm-hmm. I rescued that dachshund. She was strange. Zoe, God rest her soul. But she was a strange dog. She would literally eat my plants and my flowers all the way up as far as she could stand. Like a goat. Like a goat. It was odd. But I had three dachshunds, and I loved Doc the dachshund started me on this journey back in 2000. And he slept right by my side until he was 17. You know, he lived to be 17.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love them. Dogs that come along and teach you more than other dogs. But yeah, there's some that have a lot of lessons to show you.
Right. Well, Dr. Andy, you do great work in the world, and you know it's very important to have someone like you on our health team, right? I'm big on a health team. Why? Because when you have an emergency, your brain goes right out the window.
Yep.
Therefore, you want to have people on your team that can bring you back to center and say, "Okay, let's think through this logically and calmly," because our fear and our worry amps everything up, shuts our brain down, and we do things that maybe aren't in the best interest of our pets or ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think it's well worth your time, folks, to get in with Dr. Andy on a consult, and maybe you're just a Zoom client, and that's great, right? Because you can set up a time to work with her, talk about meds, talk about homeopathy, talk about structure, maybe run some ideas by her that you're being presented through other channels. Yep. And, you know, it's not like Dr. Andy started this yesterday.
Right? No, it's been a few years.
It's been a few years. You don't look any older than when you started.
Thank you.
Right. I always look at people and go, how did they get so old? Like Wayne Gretzky, you know, I'm like watching all the hockey right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, he was, I mean, just a stunningly good looking man. Right.
Yes.
And I saw him the other night. I was like, you got old. And then I was like, I must have gotten old too. What happened? Right?
Yeah.
Dang. Oh. But he's still.
I'm with you.
Yeah. All right, everybody, get over to animalmagiccare.com. Help your pet by working with Dr. Andy. She's fabulous. And get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com. You want to get your dog on a species appropriate diet? Well, we can help you. Okay. We can help you. Don't let our menu, our vast menu, confuse you. It's super easy. We got a quiz coming on the site soon that you'll just be able to get in the quiz. Won't Ooh. Overwhelm you. It'll give you a recommendation. And then Brian is also going to do a lot of help as well. Brian's really good. He's got his pulse on everything raw and crazy out there that I can't do. So he's going to be helping you guys out. And so get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Andy?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
Right. And that's why you, my friend. Okay, my friend. Yes. I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Oh, snaps. Snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business. Just snap.